This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're doing our regular landlord-tenant laws and issues. And those of you who have questions or comments, you'll have a chance to call in fairly quickly. My guests are Jessica Chylik. She's an attorney in San Francisco who represents landlords and tenants. Not at the same time.
No.
But different times. My other guest is Mark Seidenfeld, who's been helping me on this program for a long time. Haven't you, Mark?
I have.
Many years. Mark is a real estate attorney. He represents landlords and tenants. Again, not at the same time. His offices are in South San Francisco. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar. Well, welcome to both of you. Thank you very much for joining us. Let's talk about a few issues before we take some calls. And that is, if someone is about to either thinking of renting a unit, an apartment or whatever it may be, a house or whatever it may be, or about to leave the rental, how should they deal with the issue of potential damage at the very before they move in, as well as potential damage or actual damage as they're about to move out? Mark.
all my clients, landlords, know that when you rent an apartment, you go through it with the tenant with a checklist in hand, and you indicate on that checklist what's bad, what's good, what needs to be done, and you have both parties sign it. And that way, no one can claim that the refrigerator wasn't working when they moved in, that sort of thing. And I tell tenants the same thing. Make sure you go through it when you move in. Landlord otherwise might blame you for having caused something that was already there.
Do you feel that it's important if there is some damage before you move in, or at least something before you move out, both from the landlord's and the tenant's standpoint, to take photographs, or is that just overdoing it?
Well, when a tenant moves out, I would say yes, the tenant should take photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And I also tell landlords when they regain possession, they should take photographs too if they're going to claim that there's damage.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the law does provide a way to deal with this, and that is to do a walkthrough, the landlord and tenant together, 2 weeks before the tenant moves out.
That has to be done by a written notice ahead of time?
Well, most landlords, at least the ones I deal with anyway, are aware now. And if the tenant doesn't contact them, they will contact the tenant and mm-hmm. say, let's do a walkthrough. Mm-hmm. And then another one just before they move out to see if the damage has been repaired or taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not everybody obviously does this, but it's a good idea.
And what about the security deposit? Are you both of you finding that landlords they have sticky fingers and they won't? They won't let go of those security deposits, even if they should. Jessica, what's your experience?
Yes, that is my experience.
Really, the sticky fingers routine, huh?
It's hard for tenants to get their security deposits back. But I think that if you document correctly on the way in and on the way out, you know, that is very helpful. The state law requires that the security deposit be returned within 21 calendar days of the tenant returning in the keys.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, and it has, if there's any deductions that are being taken from it, it has to be documented. It has to have some sort of support, an mm-hmm. invoice or mm-hmm. an estimate if the work hasn't been done, things like that. And they have to be particular. They have to include the hourly rate of the person, like a house cleaner, and contact information. And if that's not there, then the tenant has the opportunity to request that information, and it could be that the landlord could be on the hook for the entire security deposit. And if a court were to find that there was some sort of bad faith in keeping it, there's a penalty of up to twice the security deposit on top.
So if someone has put up a $1,000 security deposit, and the landlord has had sticky fingers and not returned it properly, then the landlord could be subjected to, if it goes to court, not only having to return the $1,000 or whatever the appropriate amount is, plus double that amount, so it's like three times. In other words, returning $1,000, it would have to be $3,000. Is that what you're saying?
It could be. A court would have to find bad faith and figure out what the penalty would be, but it can be up to twice. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I mean, sometimes it happens that landlords and tenants have a bad relationship during the tenancy. Mm-hmm. And a landlord may think that, you know, well, I'm just going to withhold those security deposit. You can't really do it that way.
No, that's
and you can really get yourself in trouble as a landlord if you tried to do that.
Yeah. I do have to say, it used to be there was no requirement for the landlord to document his deductions from the from the security deposit. And since they've added that, it's become much more difficult for landlords, because to call a contractor out can take more than 2 or 3 weeks get an appointment. So there are times when a landlord simply is not able to provide an estimate in good faith as to what he thinks the damages will be.
So how do you deal with something like that?
I tell the landlord to send a letter with the refund saying, I'm trying my best. I've made, you know, 15 calls and the contractor can't be here until next Tuesday, whatever, and hope that the tenant understands that. But I've seen cases of the tenant going to court and prevailing on that issue. So.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But you just said that you have suggested to your client, your landlord clients, to send a letter with the check.
With the refund check.
With the refund check. And that puts the landlord in a position that if there is damage that has been done by the tenant, not normal wear and tear, then the landlord has to turn around and possibly have to sue the tenant in small claims court.
Conceivably, yeah. But again, you know, what's reasonable damage? Well, wear and tear is a big issue all the time. So,
what is reasonable wear and tear? Can you give us an example that we all can say, Mark Seidenfeld said this, and we believe what he says?
Reasonable wear and tear might be normal use of a carpet that needs to be cleaned when a tenant leaves. It's a relatively new carpet, a year or two old. That's not the problem. The problem is what happens when the carpet is 10 years old and the tenant's only been there a year and moves out. Who's responsible for the damage? A 10-year-old carpet is probably going to need some heavy-duty cleaning or replacement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And these are tough questions.
You know, another question that comes up often is, you know, if you put photographs on the wall. And you leave holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy enough for a tenant to spackle, but you can't always match paint, so you can't fix it in that sense. That's something that you can handle, going back to what we said about checking, you know, and making a list on the way in and on the way out. And your walkthrough, those are things that you can discuss at that time. And as long as everybody signs off on it, you protect yourself and you try to protect the other person.
You want it in writing. You want it in writing, you're saying, right?
Well, I generally advise writing because if it ever goes to court, judges prefer things that they can look at, read, you know, photographs, things like that. I mean, it's nice that people testify, but it ends up being a he said, she said kind of situation.
If there is poor communication between a landlord and a tenant, I mean, you just mentioned that a few minutes ago, Mark. Poor communication where obviously that they may both be angry at each other and there may be problems and they don't talk about it. What suggestion do both of you have for the landlord and the tenant to try to, let's do the best we can to live together in a way? Is there some way you would suggest?
Well, I don't think peace is going to break out anytime soon in the landlord-tenant wars in San Francisco. Having said that, people obviously need to act reasonably, and if there is a problem, they need to talk about it. That's the easiest, cheapest, fastest way of resolving problems. But there are, unfortunately, cases where they can't or won't speak to each other, and then lawyers get involved, and the courts get involved, and the rent board in San Francisco gets involved.
And it gets expensive.
It gets very expensive. But, you know, there are checklists available. The Apartment Owners Association in San Francisco puts out a really good one of things that you can do, the walkthrough, and check off every one of these items. Mm-hmm. And it's a couple of pages long, if I recall. Mm-hmm. And it goes into great detail. And it's really, really a good list. And there's no reason why any landlord or tenant wouldn't do that.
Now, that's the rent board's list, is
no,
it not?
No, that's the San Francisco Apartment Owners Association.
Oh, I see. Pardon me.
Private...
So that would be conceivably something that could be used statewide.
Yes.
If you had access.
And there are other groups that publish lists like that, too.
The state consumer department, I think, also has some landlord-tenant information. They have a landlord-tenant handbook that's a free download.
Department of Consumer Affairs?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they don't deal with San Francisco specifically, but they do have a lot of general information. And for people who are not in San Francisco under its rent control or Oakland or Berkeley's rent control, it can be very valuable.
All right. It's our Call a Lawyer night. I see the lawyers are here. They're waiting for you. Some are on the phone. Some are not on the phone. We have a number of legal topics, workers' compensation, criminal law, family law, legal malpractice law, landlord-tenant, probate, estate planning, landlord-tenant, of course. I just mentioned that. Tax law, real estate, patent, aviation, lemon law, and tomorrow you will be able to talk with a certified specialist in bankruptcy if you're being hounded by your creditors, and I'll give you the information on that to talk with Leon Bayer on an 800 number. So that number, if you wanted to call for call a lawyer, is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. We're going to take some calls from you on the air in just a couple of minutes, and that's 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. This is our Landlord-Tenant Laws and Issues program. We try to do this probably every 6 weeks on the average or so, since this is such a big topic for a lot of people today. My guests are Mark Seidenfeld and Jessica Chilek. They are attorneys who do a lot of landlord-tenant work, landlord and tenant work. And so they're both very competent, and if you would like to call in, you're certainly welcome to do so. And let me talk one more thing before we take our first call. Noise. This comes up every time we do one of these programs, Mark and Jessica. We get someone complaining about noise. What do we do about noise?
Well, I suppose one could become a hermit.
Make sure you don't have a gun
country.
In your apartment. Is that the idea?
Well, that's important, yes.
Yeah, don't have a gun.
In the Bay Area, it's densely populated. Most of the buildings on the peninsula and in San Francisco are old. Noise wasn't a consideration, I think, when a lot of these buildings were built. They're poorly insulated, if they're insulated at all. Mm-hmm. And even new buildings have noise issues sometimes. So if the parties are willing to work together, a lot of it can be resolved. Unfortunately, people don't always want to work together. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I'm familiar with a case right now where a tenant was complaining about noise coming from the tenant upstairs. The landlord, over the objection of the tenant upstairs, insisted on putting in carpet in that unit. That tenant had moved in because she liked the hardwood floors. Ah. And so she wasn't happy about it. But the tenant downstairs is still complaining. There's no solution. Except
that's
moving.
Tough. That's just really tough.
Yeah, it
just
is.
That's really tough. Pardon me, go ahead.
I said it's really hard to work with a noise case from the lawyer perspective because there's a lot of work that needs to be done before a lawyer gets involved. You have to document the noise, which means either recording it or keeping a notebook, police calls, those sorts of things. And noise is a very difficult thing because everybody is sensitive in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very subjective. It really
is. You know, for example, I rent where I live and nothing bothers me.
Wow.
I can sleep through anything.
No kidding. That's wonderful. That's terrific. All right.
I know an apartment you might be interested in.
That may be open fairly soon.
Yes.
Huh? All right. Let's take a call. Christina, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
I'm calling as a landlord, and I own a single-family house in San Francisco. It's rented out on a one-year lease, which was signed back in May 2006. We have renewed the lease each year, and we have not renewed it this year because the lease goes into a month-to-month basis when the lease expires.
Yes.
And our son will be returning to the Bay Area in March 2014, and we want him to live in the house. We would be basically taking it off the market, so he would be living there rent-free. My question is, do we have the right to ask our tenants to leave, and do we have to give them a 60-day notice? And also, do we have to inform them about the change, even though it says it in the lease, but do we have to inform them about the change from the lease to the month-to-month?
It's a lot of material there to cover, but briefly speaking, yes, you can do it depending on the circumstances. Okay. For instance, do you own other property in the city that might be available to your son? And if so... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, we don't own other property in the city. We own property in Berkeley, but they are rented.
Okay. So, all right. And is the house in San Francisco a true single family, or is there an illegal in-law behind the garage, that sort of thing?
No, it's a true single family unit.
Okay. In that case, it is covered by the rent control ordinance in San Francisco, but not the rent portion of it. It's subject to the eviction controls, however. So you would have to pay a relocation expense to the tenant. I'm not sure the exact amount, but it's roughly $5,000 per person living there.
Oh, wow.
And that includes even children.
With a cap of 15, though. The cap is 15, three times.
But there can be extra payments, even if it's one person, if the person is disabled and has lived there a certain number of years, or if they're... I forget the other...
Extremely elderly, catastrophically ill.
Right. So it can be a lot of money to do that. But as far as notifying them about the lease becoming month-to-month, you don't need to notify them because any lease, once it expires, continues as a month-to-month lease automatically by operation of law.
So even though this is a month-to-month lease under the San Francisco rent ordinance... If the tenants want to stay there, they're entitled to stay there unless Christina agrees to pay them this $5,000 per person to leave.
Well, in effect, a tenant in San Francisco has a lifetime tenancy given good behavior regardless of what the rental agreement says. Yeah. Because to terminate a rental agreement in San Francisco, you can only do it based on one of 15 reasons specified in the rent ordinance, regardless of what the rental agreement says.
You know, Christina, you have not seen an attorney, have you, on this?
No, I haven't.
This is a very significant issue for you in light of the fact that you want your son to live in this home, and you've got these... I presume that the tenants in your home don't indicate to you at this point that they're willing to leave, I presume?
Well, we haven't discussed that issue. They haven't said anything. And as I said, each year we have just sent them a letter saying that, you know, we will extend the lease another year. Yeah. And we haven't done it for this coming year. Yeah. It hasn't expired yet, but it's almost there.
Christina, my suggestion is, if I may, I think you should contact the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service and start educating yourself about what the problems are. On this program, you know, we try to help people. Giving them some direction of what to do. The State Bar does not permit my guests to really give specific legal advice under the State Bar rules, but we try to give some direction of what you may do, and I think it's worth it for you to contact the Lawyer Referral Service for the San Francisco Bar to at least start with a half-an-hour consultation, and I think it'll only cost you $35. Do you want the phone number?
I think you
really need to do it. I'm a great believer in people trying to educate themselves, and this is a good way. As a matter of fact, Jessica is one of the persons who has been involved with the Lawyer Referral Service of San Francisco for a number of years. Mark was many years ago, but he doesn't need that anymore. So in any event, here's the number, 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good.
And I thought it might be having to pay something like that relocation fee. They're good tenants, but circumstances have changed, and, you know, our son needs to be able to live there.
He's
going to be a medical student, and so it's he can't afford the rents otherwise, so this is...
What are you charging these people per month for the rent?
It's about $2,500.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you very much for calling, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much for the advice.
Sure, you're welcome. Take care now. Bye-bye, Christina.
Okay, good night.
All right, Mary, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
This is Mary.
Yeah.
Okay, I have Section 8, and I've been living in this apartment now for about 9 years. they really want me out because they can raise the rent sky high. And, of course, they're not getting...
Section 8 means what? You get some help from the government? You get some funding?
Mm-hmm.
You do? Okay. Yes. So this landlord wants to get you out so they can raise the rent.
Oh, do they ever.
Well, how much do they want to raise it by? Did they tell you?
Whatever they can get by with at the time.
What are you paying right now, may I ask?
I'm paying about almost $1,500.
$1,500, and how much of that is covered by the Section 8 plan?
Most of it is.
Oh, really?
Because I am 85 years old.
Oh boy.
And I have multiple health problems, so on and so forth. But I'm a very good tenant.
Well, it sounds, from the sound of your voice, I kind of sense that you are someone who's very careful.
I am.
Let me get some comments from my guests for you, because the fact that you are 85 years of age, I think that's probably in your favor.
And multiple health problems.
Well, and that's unfortunately in your favor, I think.
Know.
Jessica, what do you say?
I would say that's probably true. Now, any units that are getting government assistance are also under the San Francisco rent ordinance. They are both rent controlled and eviction controlled. So they have to evict you for something that is, they're either taking it off the market, or there wouldn't be an owner move-in in this case, or, you know, something that's your fault, like not paying the rent or bouncing checks. But if you've been there 9 years, I don't see that as necessarily happening in the future, unless perhaps you became ill or something like that and were hospitalized. Somebody would have to make sure to take care of that for you in order to avoid being moved out. Now, San Francisco Rent Board does also have a prohibition against a bad landlord motivation. You know, the dominant motive of any eviction has to be one of the 16 just causes. And so if you have some documentation of the landlord's bad motive, you can fight any eviction with that.
But she probably can't afford to hire a lawyer.
Not at this point, but if she gets invaded.
Wait a minute, Mary, let me get Jessica to respond. Let Jessica respond. She can't probably afford a lawyer, so how does she deal with
them? Not at this point, but there are some agencies that help defend against evictions that provide either low or reduced rate legal assistance. Mm-hmm. I mean, the lawyer referral service has a volunteer legal services section that also does low income. And, you know, there are some other agencies like Bay Area Legal Aid and the Eviction Defense Collaborative. And they work very heavily in these areas.
So there's help there for you, Mary, should you need it.
Okay.
You know?
And maybe I should have that phone number.
Which phone number would you like?
Well,
the Bar Association?
Yes, I guess so.
Yeah, you want to write that down? And they can probably help you with other numbers, but you could start there. 415-989-1616.
1616. Oh, yeah. I'd already written that down, evidently.
Yeah.
What I would like to know is, I'd like to know what my rights are under Section 8.
Well, let's do this. Let's get back to that in the second half hour of the second half hour of the program. And so, if you'll stay on the line, Mary, I'm going to take one call. I'm going to try to take one more call before the end of the statewide version of the program. So just be patient. Stay on the line because I want to take another call from someone else. But I also want to give our phone number for Call a Lawyer. All right, it is Call a Lawyer night. I want to have the attorneys really trying to help you. It's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. All right, let's take one more call. Bob, where's Bob? Are you there, Bob?
I'm right here.
Yeah, go
I'm
ahead.
Right
very
here.
Very quick if you have a question.
Okay, I'm a landlord. I have a rental unit, and my lease agreement has a no pet policy.
Uh-huh.
I have a tenant who's leaving, who asked me if they could have a dog. We wrote back and said no dogs, mainly because of the breed. He said it was a pit bull.
Oh, yeah.
And we've already done an initial walkthrough as they're leaving and noticed a lot of damage to door moldings, part of a windowsill. how can I, or how do I go about recouping some of that loss through the deposit?
So you think, do you know for a fact that this tenant has actually had a dog, a pit bull in the property?
Yes. I've had two neighbors already tell me.
Okay. All right. What comments, Mark, do you have for him?
First thing, Bob, is to document the damage. Take pictures, bring witnesses in, whatever you need to do. Get an estimate of what it's going to cost to make the repairs and deduct that money from the security deposit. And if the tenant objects to that, he'll let you know, I'm sure. But if the security deposit is not enough to cover the damage, then your remedy is small claims court, which is a very effective remedy.
How much security deposit did you get, Bob?
Just 1 month's rent.
How much?
$1,200.
Yeah. Well, you are in San Francisco?
No, this property's in Vallejo.
In Vallejo? Okay. Yeah. Well, let's see. What county is that? Is that Marin?
I think it's Solano.
Solano.
It's Solano County.
County, yeah.
You know, what you might want to do, Bob, because it could work well for you. You might want to contact the Solano County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and set up at least an initial half-hour consultation with an attorney who represents landlords and get some information, probably $35.
Okay.
You know, you've not done this, I presume.
Pardon me?
You have not done this, I presume.
No, I have not.
Well, you do. You need to.
I have all the pictures and all that.
You need to. This is a business on your part, and you need to try to, you know, educate yourself and get as much help as you can. You don't want to spend a lot of money, but at the same time, maybe a small investment will get for you a very good return.
I just want to remind you, Bob, you have 21 days from the day that he surrenders the keys to you to notify him what you're doing. Don't go over that time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but get in touch with the Solano County Bar Association, Bob.
Okay,
good. Thank you very much for calling. And also, a note has been brought in to me that you might get some information further from the rent board, and that's 415-252-4600. We have come to the end of the half-hour version of the program, which we distribute to a number of other stations in California. But for those of you who are listening to us live, we will continue on the air for another half hour, and we will be taking your calls in a minute. And those of you who are out of the area listening to us on the Internet at www.klw.org, you will also be able to join us with your questions. All right, it is 7:28 and a half, and it's getting warm in here.
It definitely is.
I don't know why is it getting so warm. It's this studio is kind of strange.
It's
all the hot air. Oh, that's good. I didn't say it, but in case you didn't hear it,
I heard it.
My guest Jessica said a lot of hot air. All right, 7:28 and a half. She's good.
Yes.
She's good, Mark.
Absolutely.
But she got one on you this time.
That's okay.
All right.
Oh, my arm, too.
So the phone number here for your legal rights is 1-415-841-4134. For our Call a Lawyer Night, which we do every month, we're doing it a little bit early this month, the third Wednesday of the month, because next week, of course, as I think all of you must know, I hope you do, is KLW's fundraising week, 7 days, and so we will not be doing Call a Lawyer on the 22nd. But let me tell you who's here just very briefly. And for Call a Lawyer, it's 1-800-525-9917. There's no obligation on your part whatsoever. This is something that these attorneys who come and do this are very happy to share their legal knowledge with you. I do order and serve them pizza so that they don't collapse, and that keeps them alert. And so here's who we have. For workers' compensation law, Alice O'Sullivan, the certified specialist in that area, former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization. For criminal law, certified specialist Jeffrey Hayden. For family law, certified specialist Janet Frankel. For legal malpractice law, certified specialist Peter Fortune, who's the chair of the Legal Malpractice Commission for the Board of Legal Specialization. For landlord-tenant law, we have Mark Bridges. It's Mark's first time. Mark also does probate and some estate planning, if you would like to call him on that. For tax law, real estate, Frank Adam, for patent law, aviation law, lemon law, Ron Rohde. And tomorrow, Thursday, May 16th, Leon Bayer will be there to take your calls. He's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. He's been incredibly gracious with his time and making himself available on usually the Thursday after our Wednesday evening. And his number is 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you're being hounded by creditors, you can call him. If the line is busy, leave him a message. He will call with your name and phone number. He'll call you back. And when you do talk to him, just tell him you're a listener of Your Legal Rights. Okay, let's take some other calls. For those of you who may have tuned in the last few minutes, I just want to let you know who my guests are. Mark Seidenfeld, pardon me, Mark, is a real estate attorney who represents landlords and tenants. His offices are in South San Francisco. Jessica Chilek, this is Jessica's first time on the air. She's been very, very supportive of our Call a Lawyer night and has done it several times. She's also an attorney who represents landlords and tenants. Her offices are in San Francisco. Our number on the air for you to ask a question of my guests on the air is 1-415-841-4134. The Call a Lawyer number is 1-800-525-9917. And let me see. We got Bob. Let's see. It's Jack. Jack, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So my question is, I rent a small studio apartment in San Francisco.
You're a tenant. You're a tenant? Right. Okay.
And I've been in the apartment for about 7 years, so my rent's pretty cheap. And I'm going to be moving at the end of the summer, and I have a friend who wants to use it as an office space and is attracted to the low rent. And I'm wondering what my options are to offer that to him.
Well, Jack, I don't really think that it's your ability to offer it to him. The contract is between you and the landlord for that unit right now. And when you move out, you have to relinquish it to the landlord. It is the landlord's property to rent. You can connect your friend with the landlord and see if that's a possibility. But do understand that office space and residential space are different in San Francisco, very much so, and that commercial space is not protected. So depending on what this studio is, where it's located, it may be solely residential, and it wouldn't be appropriate to use it for an office where somebody was coming in, like a lawyer's office or a psychotherapist's office or something like that. So that's something to consider. Your best option, I think, is to put your friend in connection with the landlord.
I would agree with that and very strongly urge you not to do it, not to turn it over to your friend, because if the landlord does sue, he's probably going to sue you as well as your friend.
Yeah. Be careful, Jack.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks very much for calling. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KALW listeners like you. If you are in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their very best to try to find someone who's competent in the area and set up a half-an-hour consultation for you. Depending on the county, for a half-an-hour consultation, it could be a low of $25, maybe a high of $35. And also, I have gotten a message here that Mary, who was with us on line two, and I guess Mary's gone. Is Mary gone right now?
Here.
You're still there, Mary?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, the San Francisco Rent Board telephone number, which I have been told you might like to have, are you ready to write?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and you are in San Francisco, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, so the number is 252-4600, 252-4600. Okay, Mary?
And I should go to them, should I?
Well, you should give them a call. give them a call and see what they may be able to do for you, if anything. Don't go first, but call and find out.
Yeah, I'd like to know my rights.
Well, I understand. I understand. I've given you...
I have no idea.
Mary?
No one seems to be able to tell me.
Yeah. Well, Mary, we have given you now two numbers.
Okay.
That may be of help to you, I hope. If you call the San Francisco Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service, the number, I gave that number to you, did I not?
That's 525-99?
No. No. Let me give it to you again.
Okay.
I think we're getting really confused here. Mary, I thought I had given you the lawyer referral number, which is 415-989-1616. Did I not give that to you?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
all
I
right.
Do have that one.
So what you got to do is start doing some calls and see what people can do to help you. That number and also the rent board number,
yeah.
And maybe that will help you. But make the calls first and
yeah.
see what they claim they can do for you, okay?
Okay. What I've had before from the rent board was that Section 8 is different than just ordinary.
Well, sure it is, of course. So the rent board has not been able to help you before? Is that what you're saying?
Well, actually, they told me that I had to go somewhere else.
I see. All right. Where did they tell you to go?
They didn't tell me.
They said, just go out the front door.
When I did contact somebody, It was like an attorney for the state or something like that.
Okay, well, Mark has something for you.
Mary, what you need to know is that even though it's Section 8, and if it's in San Francisco, it is protected by the rent ordinance. That means your landlord cannot simply evict you.
No.
They have to go through a process. They have to have a reason. Wanting to raise the rents is not a reason.
No,
so
no,
you are safe. You're safe.
You're safe, Mary.
Listen, she also has $1,000 of my money.
Okay, all right. Well, she's entitled to have $1,000 of your money as security, right?
Right.
Okay, we're going to move on, Mary.
Okay.
I suggest you make those calls and see
all
if
right.
you can get some help. As Mark said, you're safe.
Okay.
You're safe. You're 85 years old. You're
That's
covered
true.
By the rent ordinance, and it's going to be hard to get you out of there.
Yes, well, I sincerely hope so. Because,
okay.
Goodness,
all right. I want Mary, I want you to make a couple of calls and actually go see face-to-face someone who can help you after you make
Thank
the calls,
you. I
okay?
think that's a good idea.
You need to. All right.
Okay.
We're going to move on, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. The number, all our lines are full right now, but the Call a Lawyer Night number is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. You know, the whole point of doing this program and having Call a Lawyer is to try to give you some information that may be helpful to you in trying to deal with a problem that you're facing, whether you're a tenant or a landlord. The difficulty with this is, on the air, the state bar does not permit my guests to give specific legal advice. Also, we do not have the time to get all of the facts. This is not something that can be done in a couple of minutes on the air. Now, the Call a Lawyer lawyers in the conference room can talk with you for longer than we can on the air, but still, that is not the best solution either. But it is a way for you to get some basic information and maybe know which way to go. And my feeling is, if you have no contact with any lawyer at all after listening to this program, perhaps talking to someone who's in the conference room for Call a Lawyer, you will better understand that probably your next step should be to contact the Lawyer Referral Service of your county, your county bar association, and that may be helpful to you. At least I hope so anyway. Thomas, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Sure.
The hot air in there, notwithstanding.
Is it coming your way?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But I really need for you guys, and this fits well within the non-specific purvey of your show.
Sure.
I have been in my flat for over 25 years.
Ooh,
I had very cordial relationship.
Wow.
with one of the owners who just passed away. I was with her. She was a dear friend. And I have friends around me are dropping like flies. So what I would like for you guys to do is just basically outline what the Ellis Act is and describe how it is being used as a tool to pry people like me out of their flats.
Is that what you think, Thomas, is that what you think is happening with your property?
No. I don't know that at all. Mm-hmm. All I know is that friends, like what I just said to you.
Okay.
I know that my friend is gone, and the cordial relationship we have is now much mm-hmm. more of a business relationship, and I pay very low rent. And
who's going to take over the property?
I need to talk about this.
Who's going to take over the property? Do you know?
Well, you know, it was an inheritance situation, so basically her partner's sister, her partner died.
Let me stop you there and get some comments from Jessica for you to begin with.
Well, basically, the Ellis Act is a state law that allows landlords to take their property off of the rental market. So in this case, I don't know that you need to worry about an Ellis Act eviction unless they're taking your unit off of the market entirely for, you know, at least 5 years. What you may need to be concerned about is if there's a new owner who wants to live in the building, they may want to come in on an owner move-in eviction. But, you know, your unit might not be the most appropriate one for that. In San Francisco, if a tenant has a non-fault eviction, that would be either the Ellis Act or an owner move-in or something like that, the rent board requires a relocation payment, which is generally around $5,000 per person in the unit with a cap of $15,000, roughly. But there are also extensions and extra money if you have been in the unit for a very long time, are catastrophically ill, otherwise disabled. You know, that may be more what you need to be looking for, is those sorts of things.
Thomas, can you arrange to try to get at least a half-hour consultation with an attorney?
I know about that, and I'm willing to.
Well, then you should.
I'm willing to follow. You know, I've used them many times, or I consider them a valuable local community resource.
I think you should, because this is something that can't be given...
Well, I just can't believe... I can't really believe that you're having this program and not, you haven't... You know, I need to ask you to talk about the Ellis Act. I mean, people are dropping like flies here.
Well, you know, Thomas, this is a program for everybody, not just for you and not just for one problem. And what we try to do is give people some direction. And what you have to do, rather than get angry at me and this program... Well, yes, you are. You need to contact the lawyer referral service, go to the trouble of having a half an hour consultation and meet with an attorney who represents tenants and get some information. So, and Mark has something for you.
Thomas, I would just want to add, the reason we don't discuss the Ellis Act very often is because it's very seldom used. It's an extremely difficult thing to do. It's very unpopular politically. It's just not that common, despite what you may read in the newspapers. It is very unusual to do an Ellis eviction in San Francisco.
So good luck to you. But please, why don't you contact the lawyer referral service? Did you get the number?
Yes, I know how to contact them.
Okay, terrific. Good luck, Thomas. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, Marie, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Marie,
hi.
Are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, go ahead.
So I'm in San Mateo County, and I'm being evicted. It's kind of, they say it's an owner move-in eviction. I live in a cottage house, and one of the people that owns the house, I don't want to go into the drama, but she wants to move into my cottage. Mm-hmm. And I've been here for over a couple of years, and at first they gave me, like, basically 30 days. And then I talked to some friends, and they said, oh, gosh, no, you know, no fault eviction. You get at least 60 days. So I said, hey, at least days. And so then they said, okay, so 60 days, you're out in 60 days. So I'm like, okay. And I said, by the way, since when I moved in, I gave you, you know, deposit worth 1 month, and that'll be my last month's rent. And they're like, no, you have to pay your last month's rent. So So then now I'm like, you guys not being very nice about this. Like, you're A, like, evicting me, and B, just, you know, kind of being schmucks about it. So what I want to know is there any relocation assistance in San Mateo County? I mean, they're not being cool. So I'm not going to be cool.
As far as I know, the only town in San Mateo County that has any kind of rent control at all is East Palo Alto. Mm-hmm. Do you live in that town?
I don't.
What town do you live in, Marie?
I live in San Mateo.
Yeah, in the city of San Mateo. Okay. Yeah.
Then the answer is no. Okay. Relocation payments are something specific to localities that have certain rent control ordinances, such as San Francisco. I know West L.A. and Santa Monica both have it. I don't know if Berkeley has relocation payments or not.
Yes, they do.
They do, okay.
You might do, Marie, just to clarify your situation, you might call the city attorney's office in the city of San Mateo and ask them this question. They should be willing to give you some. But
I'm positive. There is
positive.
No
okay.
such ordinance in San
yeah.
Mateo.
No. Yeah. Marie.
Okay. That's fine. Okay, so no relocation assistance. That's fine. But the other thing is, when I moved in, since my deposit was worth a month of rent, and California state law says security deposits can be used towards unpaid rent as well as any damage. And this place is pristine. I mean, I'm going to get it professionally cleaned. There's nothing wrong with the place. I'm just going to consider my deposit, you know, because they're saying you need to leave, like, you know, when they gave me the 60-day notice.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Mark has something else,
Marie,
for you.
I would very strongly urge you not to do that. Most leases say that the security deposit cannot be used to pay the last month's rent.
Yeah.
But it's a bad policy in general for a tenant to try and do that, because if that is used to pay the last month's rent, then the landlord comes back and says there's damage. And I know you're saying the place is pristine and there's no damage. The landlord may not agree with you, though. Mm-hmm. You could be buying yourself a lawsuit and a 3-day notice to pay rent or quit, which is obviously much faster than a 60-day notice to vacate.
Yeah.
So pay the rent, and within 21 days, you're supposed to get your deposit back if it is as pristine as you say.
You know, Marie, as I understand it, and I'm not a landlord-tenant attorney, but if you don't pay the rent, you can get a 3-day notice to quit. Isn't that right,
yes,
Mark?
Definitely.
You get a 3-day notice to quit, not 60 days. So, Marie, Don't tough it out like that, because that's not in the long run. It sounds to me that it's going to do you any good.
But they can really boot you, like.
Well, they can get an order from the court to boot you. Yeah.
If you don't have a lease, if you're on a month-to-month tenancy, yes, they can do that.
Yeah.
If you have a lease that has not expired, though, that would be different.
Do you have a lease that hasn't expired?
It's month-to-month.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I do suggest for you also, in case you didn't get the number, do you have the number for the San Mateo County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service?
You know, I appreciate it, but it sounds like there's really nothing that they're going to be able
to do. Well, now, you know, wait a minute. Can you afford $35?
Well, I mean, what are they going to do?
Marie, you're being self-destructive here. Self-defeated. You know, if you feel that if you're just going to give up, then okay, give up. But on the other hand, to me, it seems that it's worth paying $35 to sit down with an attorney for half an hour and try to find out in half an hour what your rights may be.
Okay.
Maybe there's more to this than you think, and maybe an attorney might help you in doing this. I'm giving you this suggestion to help you. I'm not doing this to help some attorney get, and the attorney doesn't get the $35, the lawyer referral service does. Would you like the number?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. This is the San Mateo County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service number,
650-369-4149.
469-4149. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And
sure.
I wish you could have told me what I wanted to hear, but anyway.
Well, I know what you wanted to hear. We do not have a magic wand. I do my best, but there is no magic wand. I haven't found it yet. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, Call a Lawyer is 1-800-525-9917. The lawyers are just waiting to hear from you. They want to hear from you. They're getting so excited to hear from you. 1-800-525-9917. By the way, let me mention something to business owners and attorneys. The Lawyer Referral Service for San Francisco is actually one of the sponsors, along with Chamber of Commerce in San Francisco to have a seminar for business owners and attorneys on the Americans with Disabilities Act. And this is going to be on Tuesday, June 4th, from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For attorneys, you can get MCLE credit, 3 hours. For others, I don't see that there is a fee on this. This was sent to me by one of the people who's been on my program before. I don't see a fee. There may be a fee. If you'd like to learn more about it, you can go to their website, the San Francisco Bar's website, www.sfbar.org/calendar. www.sfbar.org/calendar, and that's for June 4th from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. It's at the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce at 235 Montgomery Street, 12th floor in San Francisco. And I'll announce that again next week. All right, let's see. Who do we have now? We have John. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. I have a question about tenants who sign a lease together. What happens if somebody leaves, or one of the people, the signees leaves, and the others don't pay the rent? Can the landlord sue the guy who moved out as well?
Well, actually, when tenants sign, when multiple tenants sign a rental agreement together, they are usually jointly and severally liable, which means that whoever is there is liable for the whole rent. So even if, you know, for example, if four people were living together and three of them moved out, the one person remaining would be responsible for the whole rent. Tenants generally only have to pay rent when they are actually in possession of the unit. So if somebody moves out and you have, you know, other people there, they have to cover that or get a roommate to fill the space and cover that. That's what you would have to do. And your recourse, if you were going to sue somebody for non-payment, would be to give the notice to the people who are remaining.
Oh, okay.
Now, which are you, John? Are you the one who walked out, or are you the one who's left holding the bag?
I would be more the one who walked out.
Yeah. Okay.
So you would be protected here.
But your former roommates wouldn't be happy with you.
And we are not friends anymore.
Well, yeah, so they're not going to be, and if you don't... If you don't come forward, they're going to even be worse friends. But any other comments for him?
Just generally that since you're not there, you would not be responsible for rent in that unit. The people who are responsible are the remaining people on the lease.
I would just add that you should probably let the landlord know that you're not there so the landlord doesn't come after you at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so as long as I can document, I said my goodbyes to the landlord, I'm good.
Yeah, well, I would send him a note saying I left the apartment on this date.
Yeah. Put it in writing, John, and keep a copy for yourself. Put it in writing, mail it, or deliver it to the landlord, and keep a copy for yourself.
Or email it. We can think
of email. Right, or email.
Anything that a judge can look at to see that it happened.
Yeah. Good luck to you. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Steve, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, Chuck. How you doing?
All right. Thank you.
Okay, so I went to talk to my landlord. I moved into the apartment 3 years ago, and the rent was right, and he seemed like a nice guy, and I was actually living with the landlord. The landlord was my roommate. Just recently, I moved, and now I'm very happy where I am, but things went sour between us.
Between you and your former landlord?
Yes.
Okay.
Former landlord roommate.
Yeah.
And so yesterday marked the 30-day mark from when I moved out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said casually to him, because coincidentally, we actually work next door to each other.
Oh, that's nice.
I said, what about that security deposit? And he says, well, Steve, you've ruined the floors in your bedroom.
Ooh.
And I'm countersuing you. I feel like I've got several things working on my side, though, because I have four very close friends who are witnesses to, you know, two of which have seen the apartment the entire time that I lived there. One was a former tenant, and the other one was my girlfriend. And they can attest to the horrible conditions that, you know, the house is kept in. We actually got a blight notice at one point.
Mm.
An actual blight notice. I didn't think that was possible.
Wow.
The landlord does not take care of the property whatsoever. In fact, I did several repairs on the house.
We are running out of time, Steve. Do you have a specific question?
I was told that if he doesn't give me 21 days notice, which he didn't, and he doesn't give me an itemized list of the repairs that were done to the floor, then I'm entitled to, my deposit back, correct?
You're entitled to an accounting of it and a refund of the portion that hasn't been spent. He has to document with actual bills or estimates from contractors, whoever, as to what it costs to repair it or what it will cost. If you don't get that, small claims is in your future.
Yeah,
I mean, by that you mean that Steve will have to turn around and sue his landlord.
Yeah.
And Steve, because the landlord did not supply Steve with the bills, with the list of all of these expenses, the landlord is now prohibited from getting that money back or getting being able to keep the security deposit for that or what?
Well, I would say that's in the judge's discretion.
Oh, really?
Basically, I mean, the small claims courts are a wonderful remedy. People don't use them often enough, in my opinion. They really will listen to your case and they will hear what he has to say and they will make a decision. Based on what you're saying, obviously it sounds, like you should prevail, but obviously there's two sides to every story, so.
Yeah.
Right. If it's been more than 21 days, which I think is what you said.
He did
that
30,
it's been
he
more
said
than
30 days. Yeah.
I would certainly argue that that you're entitled to the entire thing back because he did not give you any information in the 21 days, and so it's a violation of the strict wording of the statute. And you could also argue, if you thought that you could prove that he had some bad motive, you could argue for a penalty of up to twice the security deposit.
You may not
get it all. Okay,
right.
And it I've helped people with that in small claims advising, and I've also done it as part of, other lawsuits.
We must move on. Good
it's
luck
a
to
possibility.
You, Steve. Have you talked to an attorney, though, Steve?
No, but I can if I...
I think at this point you need to. What county are you in?
I'm in Alameda County.
Alameda County. Well, call a lawyer referral service in Alameda County for the Alameda County Bar and have a half an hour consultation.
Sure.
With
sure,
an attorney definitely. Who represents tenants. I mean, it's going to cost you $35. Why not do it?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
By the way, we have a couple of people, actually, I think two people left. I'm sorry we can't take you on the air. We do have actually Mark Bridges, who's doing landlord-tenant law, also probate law. And Mark will be here for a few more minutes. For those of you, and that's Janet and David, if you would like, call our call a lawyer number, 1-800-525-9917. Ask to speak to Mark Bridges, and hopefully Mark will be able to talk with you and give you hopefully some help on this. And also for those of you who are being hounded by creditors, Leon Baer will be available tomorrow. He's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. He'll be available from 8 to 11 a.m. at 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. There is no obligation on your part whatsoever. This is a service that all of these attorneys, including Leon Baer, are doing, and so it's a very fine service. Take advantage of it. I want to thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you, Chuck.
It's been wonderful to have you, Mark, back on the program. And Jessica, your first time on the radio, you did great.
Thank you.
Really nice to have you here. My guests have been Jessica Chiklik and Mark Chiklik. I'm so sorry.
It's Chiklik. Okay.
I'm so sorry. and Mark Seidenfeld. They are attorneys who represent both landlords and tenants. Jessica's office is in San Francisco. Mark's is in South San Francisco. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, by the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Because I think that this is as important, if not important, than most legal issues. Next week, we're going to talk about the dangers of excess sugar. causing obesity and other medical problems in our American diet, the sugar in our American diet. My guest will be Dr. Robert Lustig, a pediatric endocrinologist and director of the UCSF Weight Assessment for Teen and Child Health Program. I hope you will join me then. Thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.